Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a blessing and honor to be able to worship with you today. My name is Sabrina and I will be serving as your liturgist. I have a few announcements to highlight this morning. The Altar Guild will have their bake sale in the Wilson Activity Center. Be sure to stop by and get some delicious items. Charge conference will be this Tuesday at 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We want to encourage everyone to attend to celebrate our church and the mission of making disciples of Christ. The church office will close at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. We want to remind our members that if you have not turned in your pledge cards, please do so as we are finalizing for the budget of next year. If you are a visitor, welcome. We're glad to have you. If you will register your attendance on the church pads located at the end of the pews, will you please join me in passing the sign of the peace of Christ? Please stand and join with me for the call to worship that's found printed in your bulletin. God, be merciful unto us and bless us.
And cause his face to shine upon us.
Let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let us worship him in spirit and in truth.
Please join us in singing our processional hymn, Come Ye Thankful People Come, number 694.
Come, ye thankful people, come.
remain standing and join with me for our affirmation of faith, found on page 885 and also printed in your bulletin. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare.
We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will ever dedicate to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Today. Okay, so what holiday are we celebrating this week? Thanksgiving, great. Because I would be afraid if you said Christmas, we would be in trouble. But we are. So at Thanksgiving, we are really at time thankful for what we have, right? And at times, even beyond Thanksgiving, we need to thank people for what they do for us, correct? Saying thank you. And one person that we really need to thank is God, for all that he has for us. Well, I have something to show you today. And that might be a donut. Very good. Yes, that's one less donut that we had this morning. But, you know, I learned this a couple of years ago. And as you go through life, this is a goal, to look at the donut and not the hole. To look at the donut and not the hole. Because what happens is that if we look at the hole, then we complain, don't we? We complain, okay, well, why doesn't it have like cream in it, Miss Laura? And why doesn't it have chocolate on it? And why isn't it complete? Because you know what? We're looking at what's missing instead of what's there, right? And so as we go through Thanksgiving and beyond Thanksgiving, we need to be thinking about what we have and what blessings we have, than what we don't have. Because what we have is important and what we need. So as you go through, think about it. So the next time you eat a donut, think about this as your goal. Think about the donut and not the whole. All right? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for all those blessings that you give us. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
The choir anthem this morning is a very nice arrangement of a hymn in our hymnals, hymn number 660. If you would like to turn to that page in your hymnal, that way you can follow the text along with us. It is not one of the most familiar of hymns, but I will invite you, if you know this hymn tune, I invite you to sing the first and the fourth verses with the choir.
Thank you.
In prayer. Lord, we enter into a special time of thanksgiving, and it calls us to be reminded of what we are indeed grateful for, and the many blessings you have poured out upon us. We are also in a time in our world that it is so often ruled by fear. Help us to embrace a spirit of thanks, to be thankful for the people in our lives, the love and grace we receive from you, to have a community of faith that gives support and encouragement as we live the Christian life. Thanksgiving often reminds us we are not thankful enough for all we have year round. Help us to not simply move through the Thanksgiving holiday and leave it behind, but help that spirit to stay with us. For thankful hearts lead to expectations of hope and new ways of seeing you active in our world. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you for wanting us to be active in a world ruled by fear, for we know the only true solution is your holy love given freely to all. Help us to share that love as we thank you for all you are to us and will be for others. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The family-to-family boxes are to be brought to the church today. Please bring those by as soon as possible. Thank you so much for your great response to this mission. Great giver, you abundantly of your love give us love, forgiveness, and grace. We do not thank you enough, but hope that by our dedication and commitment, our prayer and worship, we can show you how grateful we are. Fill us with your spirit, and may we, during this time of thanksgiving, give to others of our love and share what we have with others who don't. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
you will please join with us in singing our meditation, number 131, We Gather Together.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Please be seated. We have been blessed this morning by tremendous music, and quite frankly, we could really just go all home now. But it's important that we share in Scripture, and in fact, that we share important messages of hope. And I pray that this passage I'll be sharing with you from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. I pray that the words will fall and rest upon your hearts and your minds, and we'll be able to hear it in a fresh and new way. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at the great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me, and I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. It was an incredibly important meeting. It was a meeting of all of the seniors of the youth group. And they were there to decide what their big trip would be after graduation. Now, for several years, there was this extraordinary trip that we'd all dreamed about, heard stories of. And that was this big sailing trip where they were, the youth group and the youth pastor and some adult volunteers, they would hire a captain of a ship and they would sail from Florida to the Bahamas. Incredible! An exciting adventure. Being out there and all the stars above you, beautiful sea, all these sights, being able to fish and swim, this glorious and wonderful trip. But here's the catch. We had to have 12 people confirmed to go on that trip. That's how many you had to actually work the ship together. And well, there was a couple folks that were bringing up sharks. What about sharks? And what about the fact that you're only surrounded by water? And then this phrase jumped out and it all crumbled apart. What about Disneyland? These are seniors in high school. And so before you know it, three or four are on the Disneyland train, not Disney World, Disneyland in California. And my dreams of this glorious and wonderful adventure sailing from Florida to the Bahamas collapses. Now, we had a great trip to Disneyland. It was fine. But I still remember being deprived of such a wonderful adventure, all because of the fear of sharks, deep water, the mystery of the unknown. Oh, I was so angry and devastated. Brothers and sisters, in this passage, it's iconic. It's the first conversation that God and Moses have. It's a powerful exchange. And it really gives us an insight upon where Moses is in his life and how, at the end of the book of Exodus, how incredibly changed his journey becomes. Because every step of the way in which God is calling Moses to go to Pharaoh, go and help free my people from their slavery, from the Egyptians, every step is made with, well, I'm not the guy you want. I can't do it. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? And as you continue on, he brings up his own weakness of not being really able to speak all that well. And well, God answers that. I'll send your brother. Every protest Moses brings up is met with an answer. Moses is fearful. Moses is uncertain of this mission, doesn't really want to do it. All of a sudden, this mysterious burst of flame talking. Does he think he's crazy? Does he think everything is just falling apart around him? I had a chance to have a great experience in scouting. And it was a merit badge that really you only got to earn going to scout camp. And it was a way in which you had a small group of people sign up, and you would walk and hike through the wilderness, and you would camp for 2 days with limited supplies. And I didn't want to do it. And in fact, I never did do it. I was afraid. I was fearful because it was with people I didn't know, with circumstances that would have been out of my control, and I didn't know if my abilities were that strong to be able to face what I would have to endure. And so I passed up that adventure, that exciting time, and chose to do something else, something easier. And I regret that, because maybe I could have conquered that fear, right? Maybe I could have created lasting friendships with those few people together. Maybe my abilities as a great camper and hiker would have been enhanced. Maybe. The fear took over. The fear took over Moses in these protests of not wanting to go to Pharaoh. Fear of how Pharaoh will react. Will the Israelites reject me? Who would listen to me? And after all, he's fled Egypt after killing a guard. He doesn't want to go back to that old life. But yet this God convinces him every turn to embrace it. Brothers and sisters, the Pharaoh of our time and our world today is fear. Fear is our Pharaoh. And it can enslave us very, very quickly. It can oppress us, because what fear does is it has us close in on ourselves. We don't trust anything or anyone, only ourselves and our close loved ones. Fear inhibits the ability to truly share love with others, to be in peace with others, because paranoia rules the day. Fear rules the day. The fear I'm talking about comes in different shapes and sizes. The fear of not being able to have enough money to get by. The fear of not being have enough food to feed your family. The fear of having a loved one diagnosed with an illness, physical or mental. The fear of lack of security and safety for me and mine. The fear of retirement. Will I have saved enough? What will happen after all this job security is gone? Fear of ISIS and other terrorist groups to kill us, to attack. Fear is rampant. Our news runs on fear. You know this. Everything almost is always listed. I can come up to fear. Maybe it's statistics about drunk driving. Fear is raised. Maybe it's about someone being kidnapped. Fear is raised. Or someone has something stolen from them. Fear is raised. And we raise up those walls and we put ourselves in our own little shelter. Brothers and sisters, As Christians, fear is our major weakness. You know how superheroes like Superman have a kryptonite? Fear is kryptonite to a Christian. Because as Christians, we can't adequately live out the Christian life with fear. Because ingrained with us to live as people of faith is with one attribute, one powerful attribute that we have seen, exemplified, and lived out in the person of Jesus Christ, and that is love. When we would rather have fear and react to the fear than embrace love, we're going down the wrong path. Because here is an example of how love overcomes fear. There is a fear of those that don't have enough to have food for their children. But I was just yesterday at our end gathering, which is a United Methodist response of creating all these resources of food and supplies to be shipped out to hungry families all across Arkansas. And we packaged 40,000 meals. And, which is even more shocking to me, we boxed to be shipped out 40,000 pounds of sweet potatoes. I've never heard of that many. That is what the answer to fear should be: love. Reaching out, solving a problem with love, Christian unity. You have responded in love to our family-to-family campaign, where we will have given 300 Christmas meals to hungry families. How amazing! Love trumps fear every time. The love of Christ trumps the fear of sin. The love of Christ trumps the fear of death, because Christ has already defeated death. Amen? One of my heroes of the faith is Brother Roger. He was a monk. And he started the community of Tezé, which was Catholic and Protestant brothers living together and having vows and praying and service. But when he was just beginning, he lived in a small village in France. And Nazi Germany was just beginning to come to power. And they were taking their vengeance on capturing Jews and killing them. And Brother Roger had a choice: embrace fear or embrace love. To embrace fear would be to not allow anyone that came to have shelter. But what Brother Roger did instead was embrace the love of Christ, welcome in those that were running to give them comfort, shelter from harm's way. We as Christians respond with love. That is our language. When we start operating in fear, it doesn't compute. It's like oil and water. It doesn't mix very well. This Thanksgiving season, we have a tremendous opportunity to truly think deeply about what we're thankful for. The wonderful blessings that are a part of our lives. And the number one thing that should be at the top of your list is God's love. Because it changes everything in our lives. It changes our world upside down for the better. And when we live in God's loving reign, your gifts and graces are blessed. Moses was chosen for a reason. He had the gifts that God knew he had So what is it that God's calling you to? You have gifts that God is asking you to overcome some kind of fear in your life. Brothers and sisters, you have God's love with you to overcome every fear, every doubt, every darkness, every pain that could possibly come your way. So in the moments of doubts, in the moments of confusion, in the moments of hurt and fear, embrace that love and embrace the knowledge that God wants to use you for the growth and the blessing of God's kingdom. Happy Thanksgiving, and let us always remember to be thankful for God's wondrous and radical love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us be standing to sing our closing hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, hymn number 139. If there are those who would like to come forward to become a member of our church or profess your faith in Christ or to have a time of prayer at our prayer rail, we welcome you forward at this time. Thanksgiving. And remember that God's love will be with you, goes out with you through every fear. Love always trumps fear. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.